This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all those who follow His way with righteousness until the end of time. For today's discussion, I decided to focus on a hadith which is very beloved to me. This is a hadith which I have tried to live my life by, and which I try to remind myself of at every opportunity. It's a very long hadith. Generally, you'll find hadiths that are like one line or two lines. This hadith is about six lines, right? And it's packed with so much of advice that there's always something in that hadith that you can apply today. No matter what you're going through today, there's something in this hadith that you can apply today. So it's a kind of hadith that you can take it and you can apply it every day of your life. And this hadith is packed with so much wisdom that entire books have been written about it. This hadith is known as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice to his cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhu. The hadith, its most authentic narration, is found in Sunan at-Tirmidhi. You will find the same narration in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi at hadith number 19. So those of you who have memorized the 40 hadith, you will have memorized this hadith as well. And what I'm going to do first, I'm going to read the hadith and translate it, and then we're going to go into a bit of a background about the narrator and then lessons from the hadith. So the hadith narrates as follows. An Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu qala kuntu khalfa rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawman faqala ya ghulam inni uallimuka kalimat ihfazillah yahfazka ihfazillah tajidhu tujahak iza sa'alta fas'alillah wa iza sta'anta fasta'in billah wa'alam anna al-ummata لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك بشيء قد كتب الله لك إلا بشيء قد كتب الله لك وإن اجتمع على أن يدلك بشيء لم يدلك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that one day I was sitting behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on his camel. And he said, O young man, I am going to teach you some important words. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, ask only of Allah. If you seek help only from Allah. And know that if the Ummah were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they would not benefit you except what Allah has already written for you. And if everyone had to get together to harm you with anything, they cannot harm you except what Allah has already written against you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Another version of the hadith is mentioned, and this hadith is a bit weaker, but there's some benefits from this version as well. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. Recognize Allah at times of ease and you will find Him there for you at times of difficulty. And know that what has passed you by was never meant for you. And what has happened to you was never meant to pass you by. And know that victory comes with perseverance. And relief comes after affliction. And every hardship comes with ease. It's a very, very beautiful hadith. And really, if you can memorize this hadith, do so. If you can't memorize it, at least learn its meaning. Because these are words of advice which we should live by. I want to start by talking about the narrator, because it will help us to understand the context of the hadith. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But there was a huge age gap between them. There was like a 50-year age gap between them, because I'm not sure if you're aware, the Prophet ﷺ's uncle Abbas was the same age as him. He was like 1 or 2 years older than the Prophet ﷺ, right? So he and his uncle were around the same age. He was the same with his uncle Hamza. They were around the same age as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not uncommon. Even in our community, there's many people whose uncles are their age, who, in my case, my brother's the same as my children. You know, this is not something that uncommon. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was born towards the end of the Prophet ﷺ's life. So the scholars say when this hadith takes place, he has to be between 9 to 11 years old. He can't be any older than that. Because when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he was only 13 years old. So this is the advice that the Prophet ﷺ is giving to a child. That's one of the most important lessons from this hadith. He is giving this advice to a child. Right? Not just any child, but Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas would go on to grow up to become the leading scholar of tafsir amongst the Sahaba. And one of the top four narrators of hadith amongst the Sahaba. He would become the greatest scholar of his generation. And if you want to know what's the link between that and this, well, this is where it starts. If you are teaching children the deen from a young age, then they have a chance of reaching that level. But what happens to many of us, we think, oh, they're too young to know about all this. You know, I'll tell them when they're older. But many of us make the mistake that we think our children are too young to learn about the deen. And as a result, you know, when they get older, and you see especially for example in the context of hijab, we don't talk to our daughters about hijab. We don't talk to them about why do we wear hijab, what's the benefits of hijab, what's the purpose of hijab. And then suddenly when they attain puberty, we start fighting with them about the hijab. Well, you wouldn't need to fight with them if from a young age you are discussing with them the benefits. You are discussing with them how it brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you discuss with them the rewards they will get with it, inshallah when they grow older, they will go into hijab on their own because you taught them the deen. You taught them what the deen says about it. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was one of the greatest scholars of his generation. And this hadith takes place long before that, long before he becomes a scholar. In fact, he didn't even become a scholar in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was only 13 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Only 13 years old. What he did after that, he would go to all of the senior sahaba that he could find and he would learn hadith and Quran from them. So when those sahaba passed away, he was now the one person who had combined the knowledge of all those other sahaba who had passed away. That is why many of his hadiths, he does not narrate them directly from the Prophet ﷺ, but he narrates them from another sahabi who narrates it from the Prophet ﷺ. But in this hadith, he is narrating directly. Because this is a memorable event in his life. The hadith starts by saying that Abdullah ibn Abbas says that he was riding with the Prophet ﷺ on his camel. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Oh young boy, I'm going to teach you something." Here we have our first lesson. The lesson here is, if you want your child to remember something important, then create a memorable event around it. If you have to put this into a modern context, right, in those days you'll be riding on the camel together. Take your son for a drive. And while you're driving, tell your son, "I'm going to teach you something." And then tell him what you want to teach him. When it's just you and him alone. That would be the modern way to follow the sunnah. Because we don't ride camels today. But this is the closest we can get. So he said, "I'm going to teach you something." Now because he said, "I'm going to teach you something," that also made Abdullah pay more attention. Why? Because now the Prophet is going to teach him something. So again, the importance of teaching our children. The importance of teaching the younger generation. Do not neglect their Islamic education. It's absolutely fine to excel in dunya education, right? But do not neglect the Islamic education. Find that balance, get both. You know, for some reason in our communities we have people who think it's only dunya education or it's only dini education. That's not how it was with the early Muslims, they had both. And we can have both as well. So if your child, you want them to excel in dunya, don't neglect the deen. Because the dunya is going to help them in this world, the deen is going to help them in both worlds. So find that balance, find a way for them to learn both. So now let's go to the advice. The first advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ibn Abbas, "Ihfazillah yahfaz." Now ihfazillah is a very difficult statement to translate into English. There's no real direct translation. You'll find some translations say "remember Allah," some say "be mindful of Allah." The most literal translation would be "preserve Allah." But again, in English that doesn't really it doesn't really give us much meaning in English. Right? So we go, instead of looking at the translation, let's look at what the scholars said this means. The scholars said that ihfazillah means to preserve the boundaries of Allah, meaning avoid haram and fulfill the obligations. That's what ihfazillah means. Avoid haram and fulfill the obligations. Preserve the boundaries of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a sharia. And that sharia has a lot of room for halal. If you look at the sharia, 90% of the things of this dunya are halal. But think of the sharia as a circle, right? And the edges of that circle are the haram. You don't go beyond that edge. Anything within it is fine. So just avoid those edges, just avoid the haram. What will happen if you avoid the haram? What happens if you fulfill your obligations to Allah? Yahfazk, Allah will protect you. The verb used here, you know, is the same as when we talk about hibs. When we talk about hibs, we think it means memorizing the Quran. Hibs actually means protecting the Quran. Protecting it from being forgotten, protecting it from being changed, protecting it from being lost. That's what hibs means. So yeah, Allah is saying that He will do hibs of you. He will protect you. And the scholars say there's a double meaning here as well. Allah will protect your deen and your dunya. He will protect your deen and your dunya. Meaning if you make an effort to avoid what is haram and to fulfill your obligations, Allah will help you to preserve your iman. He will protect you from going astray. He will protect you from losing faith. He will protect you from doubts about the religion. Allah will protect you from all of that if you obey Him. And the other meaning, Allah will protect you from worldly calamities. Allah will protect you from losing everything in this dunya. He will take care of you. And there's examples given of both in the Quran. The example of Allah protecting the deen of a person. We look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was tempted by the woman, and instead he asked Allah to save him. Allah took him, sent him to the prison, where he was protected from them and his iman was protected. And that's what the Quran speaks about, how his iman grew in the prison. And how he became, you know, how he was doing da'wah to the people in the prison. And how he became a source of ibadah for him. And we see also in Surah Kaf, we see the story in Surah Kaf of the young orphans whose wealth, they had a treasure that belonged to them that was hidden behind the wall. And Allah protected that wall from breaking so that people don't steal their treasure. Allah says why in the Quran? Why did the wall not break? Because their father was a righteous man. Imagine that the father's righteousness leads to the children's dunya being protected. Not just your dunya, your children's dunya as well. So, be mindful of Allah and Allah will take care of you. Allah will protect you. And you know, nowadays a lot of young Muslims, they come to us with doubts about the religion. And very often the doubts they have about the religion are not really intellectual doubts, they are spiritual doubts. It's a matter of not being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I spoke about this in the previous Jummah khutbah in this masjid, if you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not get those kind of doubts about the religion. Why? Because you will experience Allah's help. You will experience your du'as being answered. You will experience miracles in your life. You will taste the sweetness of iman. You will enjoy ibadah. And anyone who has experienced any of that cannot have doubts about Islam. So very often it's to do with our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very often we are not preserving the boundaries of Allah, so Allah is not preserving our iman. If we want our iman to be preserved, it starts with us preserving the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a second benefit of preserving the boundaries of Allah. اِحْفَذِ اللَّهِ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكْ. Or in another narration, تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكْ. Preserve the boundaries of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. Meaning, you will find Allah on your side. You will find Allah guiding you. You will find Allah's assistance when you need it. And this is explained in even more details in the other version of the hadith, which says, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَى يَعْرِفُكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Recognize Allah during times of ease and He will remember you during times of difficulty. Now, to take a while to explain this part of the hadith, because this is something a lot of us may not be aware of. The bigger test in this world is not difficulty, it's ease. Why? Because in times of ease, many of us forget Allah. In times of ease, many of us stop praying Salatul Fajr. In times of ease, many of us stop going to the masjid. In times of ease, some of us become arrogant. Some of us begin to think, I am successful, instead of Allah granted me success. In times of ease, we begin to think, that I'm somebody special. And we forget about Allah. We stop putting tawakkul in Allah. We stop believing that our risk is from Allah. And if that's the direction we headed in, then that ease is not good for us. The test of ease is to still remember Allah and to still worship Allah no matter how easy life gets for you in this dunya. And that's one of the meanings of sabr. Right? The word sabr, we know it to mean patience. It also means to persevere. And the scholars say it means to persevere in good deeds during times of ease. That's one of the many meanings of patience. To persevere in good deeds during times of ease. Why? Because when your life is easy, it's very easy to miss Salatul Fajr. But when life is difficult, you see, when life is difficult, even the atheist becomes a believer. When life is difficult, everybody turns back to Allah. Everybody makes dua. Everyone's waking up for tahajjud. So that difficulty becomes good for you. So how do you get Allah's help during difficulty? You do the harder thing. You worship Allah during times of ease. If you worship Allah during times of ease, then when difficulty afflicts you, and it will afflict you because this is dunya, and dunya is a test. And we're going to be tested with both. We're going to be tested with times of ease, and we're going to be tested with times of difficulty. But when the difficulty comes, you will experience miracles. You will experience, strong iman, a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will experience your du'as being answered. And all of that is good for you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Abdullah some very important advice. And again, it's advice that all of us need to listen to. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask anyone, ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek help from anyone, seek help from Allah. In this hadith, he's basically explaining to him the most important verse of the Quran, where we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That you alone, Allah, do we worship, and you alone, oh Allah, do we seek help from. So what does it mean to ask only Allah or to seek help only from Allah? Well, there's different levels here. The minimum level is that you do not make dua to anyone besides Allah. Right? That's the minimum level. To make dua to someone besides Allah is shirk. Right? It is polytheism. It is an act of disbelief. That's the minimum level. But there's higher levels than this. Some of the Sahaba, they reach these higher levels. Some of the Sahaba had reached such a high level of not asking anyone for anything, that if they were riding on their camel and their stick fell down, they would get up and they would get off the camel, go down and pick up their stick instead of asking anyone. Why? Because they believe they should only ask Allah. Now we're not saying everybody has to do that, we're saying that's the higher level of iman that some of the Sahaba reached. So what this hadith is teaching us here is that as believers, in every part of our lives, our first step for any goal, for any difficulty, for anything, our first step should be dua. Again, many of us leave dua for the last step, right? We ask our friends for help, we ask the bank for help, we ask everybody else for help, and the last step we might say they make dua one night. That's not the Islamic way. The first step should be dua. The first step should be dua. You have a problem, or you have a goal, or you have a task to do, ask Allah for assistance. Then you take your worldly steps to accomplish that goal, which could include asking other people for things that's permissible to ask. What is it permissible to ask people for? It's permissible to ask people for things that it is humanly possible to do. So for example, if your car is not working and you ask somebody to fix it, nothing wrong with that. Right? So this is what you can ask people for. What you're not allowed to ask people for are things only Allah can do. right? So you ask someone to help you in a spiritual way, that's something which only Allah can do, right? To ask someone to, you know, provide for you rizq, only Allah can do. You can ask someone for a loan, you can ask someone for money, but any of your rizq is only from Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes into the second half of the hadith into details to help us understand this concept of qadr, this concept of destiny. So remember, brothers and sisters, that if we truly want Allah's assistance in our life, asking Allah should be step number one. Now the next part of the hadith is very interesting. And any good or bad that has ever happened to you in your entire life, I want you to think of all of it in the context of this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. He said no, that this ummah, if they had to try and benefit you with anything, they will only be able to benefit you with that which Allah has written for you. And if they had to try and harm you with anything, they will only be able to harm you with that which Allah has written for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have tried. So what does this mean? This means that Allah is the one in control of our destiny. I'm going to start with the back of the hadith and then go forward, because some of you may be thinking, what do they mean by the pens have been lifted and the pages have been tried? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that before Allah created this universe, He created a scripture, right? And He created a pen. And He wrote in that book everything that will happen until the end of time. This is called the Lawh al-Mahfuz. This is called the, this is the preserved tablet of destiny. Everything that's going to happen until the end of time, Allah already knows it. Now I know this is a difficult concept for people to grasp. And I know a lot of people find it very hard to wrap their heads around the idea that everything that's going to happen, Allah already knows it, including who's going to paradise and who's going to hell. And so I want to make one statement to help you understand this better. Or rather, actually it's not going to help you understand this better, but to ease your heart about it. Whenever it comes to these descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His knowledge, His mercy, His justice, His infinite attributes, I want you to remember that we are limited in our understanding of this world. Right? We don't understand everything about this world. So what about our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about it like this. When a child, you know, when a child wants to do something and the parents tell them not to do it, very often that child does not understand why that parent is telling them not to do it. Because that parent has more knowledge than the child. Right? So, if a parent has more knowledge than a child, and because of that, the child trusts the parent, we should have the same approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has more knowledge than us, Allah has more wisdom than us, Allah knows things that we don't know. And so, when we are discussing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are going to be things that are beyond human understanding. Right? There are going to be aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is beyond human understanding. Like what existed before this universe. We don't go into that. That's beyond human understanding. Now why did Allah put us here if He already knows who's going to paradise and hell? There are explanations given, but the shortest explanation is, that's beyond human understanding. The entire concept of Qadr is the finite trying to understand the infinite. It's a human trying to understand Allah's perfect knowledge. It's not going to happen. So when it comes to these things, we believe in Allah and what Allah has revealed, and we don't delve too deep into it. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told his Sahaba not to ask too many questions about Qadr. Right? Because it's a concept that is beyond human understanding. And Allah knows best. So the aspect of Qadr mentioned in this hadith is that in your life, any benefit or harm that comes to you can only come from Allah. And Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts in the context of the entire world trying to help you. If the entire world wants to help you, but Allah does not want it to happen, the world can't help you. And if the entire world wants to harm you and Allah is protecting you, they will never be able to harm you. So what this hadith does, it makes us fear Allah and not fear His creation. It makes us remember and know that in our lives, nothing happens except what Allah wills. And every good and bad thing that happens to us, we must understand it in this context. Now many of us, for bad things, we put in this context, right? Something bad happens in our life, we say, Qadr Allah. This is Allah's destiny. And we are patient and Allah rewards us for that. But even when the good thing happens, even when the good thing happens, don't say, I'm successful. Don't say, I did it. You know? Say, Alhamdulillah. Allah answered my dua. Allah granted me this. Allah opened this door. Allah made this possible. Attribute every good thing in your life to Allah. And that is called shukr. Being grateful to Allah. And the benefit of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us in the Quran, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you are grateful, Allah will give you more. So whatever good you have in your life, be grateful to Allah for it. Knowing that nothing in this world can benefit you except what Allah has willed. Coming to the end of the hadith, and this is in the other version of the hadith, it is mentioned that اِعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبَرِ. Know that victory only comes after sabr. And sabr over here, again, every book has different translations. I would say the translation that fits most here is perseverance. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching Abdullah radiallahu anhu in this hadith, that if you want to accomplish anything, whether it's to do with deen or dunya, you have to have sabr. You have to work hard and persevere. There is not a single thing in this world that you are going to accomplish without hard work. There's nothing you're going to accomplish on day one. Everything takes time. Everything takes time. Whether it's dawah, whether it's building a business, whether it's raising a family, everything takes time. So know that your victory and your success will only come after sabr, after you persevere. Meaning as Muslims, we should not give up. If you have a noble goal, if you have a noble objective, pursue it. And keep pursuing it no matter what difficulties get in your way. Because it's only after all of that sabr that you will get victory. And the hadith ends with a statement that after an affliction, there is relief, and with a difficulty, there is ease. And very beautiful, you know, this has a double meaning again. It means that whatever afflictions you face in life, and again, I want everyone to think about this throughout your life. Whatever afflictions you have faced throughout your life, it ended. Right? It ended. Nothing's going to last forever. You went through a hard time that was followed by a good time. You went through a difficulty that was followed by ease. Right? You went through a sickness that was followed by good health. You went through a business that wasn't doing well, inshallah, you'll be followed by a business that does well. Meaning, nothing in this world is going to last forever. After your difficulty, there is going to be ease. And the other meaning, now the scholars say it's ma'al usr, with that difficulty there is ease. Meaning, while you are facing the difficulty, Allah will grant you ease in other ways. How? Let's say you are sick. Allah may send someone to help you, right? Or somebody to pay your medical bills. Or Allah may make your workload less for that week so that you are able to recover from your sickness. Allah will bring a different type of ease to go with your difficulty, so it's not too much for you to handle. So with every difficulty you face, Allah brings ease with it. So with that, we come to the end of this hadith. And I want to conclude with a summary of the message of this hadith. The first message of this hadith, or the first lesson we learn from this hadith, is that we must educate the younger generation about Islam. Don't think that they are too young to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to a boy who is 9, 10 or 11 years old. And he's teaching him about tawakkul. And he's teaching him about dua. And he's teaching him about maintaining the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's teaching him, it's very important, he's teaching him that in life he's going to face difficulty. Again, some of us shelter our children from this teaching. We don't want our children to know they're going to face difficulty. You know, we want to make life easy for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the children of his generation that you will face difficulty in life. But you must face that difficulty with tawakkul. You must face that difficulty with sabr. That difficulty is a means of you growing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of dunya, it's part of life. You are going to be tested. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught this to a 9 or 10 year old boy. So we shouldn't try to shout our children from the idea that life has difficulties. No, no, some parents go as far as they don't want the children to even know that people died. How are you going to shelter your children from that? So you need to talk to your children. And they need to know that life is not always going to be easy. And Allah is going to test them as they grow older. And from a young age, give them the principles to deal with that test. So when they reach that age where the tests start happening, they already know the principles from a much younger age. And the principles we mentioned is ihfazillah. Preserve the boundaries of Allah. Allah will take care of you. Allah will be there for you. Make dua only to Allah. Whenever you have anything in life, ask of Allah. Have sabr and Allah will grant you victory. And we learned that qadr is already written. Whatever good comes to you, thank Allah for it, because it would not have happened except by the will of Allah. Whatever bad comes in your life, have sabr with it. It's a means of your sins being forgiven. It's a means of raising your iman, raising your state to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have sabr and it will pass as well. We ask Allah to help us to practice on this hadith and to live by it. JazakAllah khairan wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalam.